The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the
Earth. Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator. Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Thursday, November 4th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. Our first hour is podcast as the Normal Daily Audio Stash. You can find us on iTunes. Our second hour is our live call-in hour, available only here at live.normal.org at 2 o'clock Pacific Time, 5 o'clock Eastern Time. It is our post-election wrap-up special. Thanks for joining us here. Also joining us from our virtual studios in beautiful Astoria, Oregon, my good friend and quarter sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Hello, fellow activists. How's everybody feeling out there after the election?
Oh man, we're
that's
doing,
what I want to know.
Yeah, we're picking it up and moving it along here, folks. I know a lot of people are bummed out there based on the election results. We'll be covering all of those today, but hold your heads high, folks. We have actually made great strides in ending adult marijuana prohibition. I'll be telling you all about it in today's Radical Rant at the end of the show. Also coming up on today's show, some grassroots activism. Cannabis Carrion and I made the 12-hour drive south to San Francisco and back last night. That's why we didn't have a show yesterday. We were
that's
on the
24
road.
Hours, I think, if my math is correct.
You still have the power of mathematics, Carrie. 24 hours worth of driving. And we're bringing back to you some exclusive photographs and audio from inside Oaksterdam University on election night from Prop 19 headquarters. We've got the concession speeches of Richard Lee, Dale Skye Jones, Stephen Gutwillig, and one of your favorites, Carrie, Ann Lee, Richard Lee's mom.
Yeah, that was amazing. Richard Lee, both of his elderly parents were there standing behind him. His father gave a speech saying he couldn't be more prouder of his son. His mother gave a speech who apparently has been a longtime Republican and urged fellow Republicans to stop wasting all the money that they are spending on going after cannabis consumers. It was very inspiring. And I have to say at the end of the night, that amazing group of activists on the top of the stage that brought Prop 19 to us through all of their efforts, they did not sound defeated. They sounded like they were ramped up and ready to go.
Not at all. It's amazing what we accomplished this election cycle. And again, we'll be breaking all of that down, starting with our hemp headlines, which we do right after our first break. And Carrie, what do we have listed in the headlines today?
Well, today, of course, the big news is the election results. So we're going to tear it down by the numbers. All of the big four, we're going to hit 1, 2, 3, 4 and hear what you have to say about each of them, Russ.
All right. Absolutely. I'll give you my opinion on those things. Also, coming up in hour two, we'll be taking your calls at 971-533-7111 to get your reactions, comments, questions, anything you want to know about election night 2010. We'll have the answers here for you at Normal Show Live. We're here every Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Pacific Time. Make sure you stick around. We got plenty coming up.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
There is peaceful solution called a peace revolution. And now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. The next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
It's a kite, everybody.
This drug in front of me is what they call marijuana.
If we had a dime for every dime bag bought in America, marijuana would be legal by now. Donate to Normal at NORML.org and support Normal Show Live.
Going to light.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
Okay, we're going to start off with the big ballot measure yesterday, or on Tuesday, Prop 19. It became the highest percentage of yes votes of any other previous statewide measure. It had 46.1% of the votes. Now, there have been four previous attempts at statewide legalization of cannabis, beginning with Nevada in 2002. That effort only gained 39% of the popular vote. Alaska tried to pass a legalization measure in 2004, and it received 44% of the vote. In 2006, two states tried legalization measures. Colorado and Nevada, for a second time, had measures to legalize. Colorado got 41% of the vote that year in 2006. Nevada gained a little bit of ground with 44% of the vote. So Prop 19 was the highest, with 46.1% turnout of yes votes in the state to legalize recreational marijuana for all adults. The election this week in California resulted in 3.4 million citizens voting to legalize marijuana for the voters of California. Richard Lee, as a sponsor, the wallet, and the heart of the measure, vowed to continue the fight in 2012 for the rights of the citizens of California to possess, cultivate, and participate in a legitimate market for this commodity. The election had a lower than expected turnout despite the massive efforts at the last minute of late coming donors to get the younger citizens of California to vote. Now, there were some isolated incidents of voter intimidation. At San Diego State University, they ran out of provisional ballots early in the day and were telling people it would take hours and hours to get more. And it was also reported to us that voters were told if they didn't fill out a ballot completely, it would not be counted, discouraging some young voters to abandon the ballot out of fear they might vote on a measure they weren't expecting and didn't understand. The phrase often repeated by the Yes on 19 group later on in the evening as the poll numbers trickled in was that the question has moved to, and it's no longer if we should legalize marijuana, but when we should legalize cannabis for adults in the U.S.
Yeah, I'm excited about the results for Prop 19. You know, everybody's kind of bummed out across the country. You know, marijuana legalization didn't pass. But folks, this is going to take a long time. Alan St. Pierre mentioned it on our election night coverage. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. And for those of you who've jumped on the bandwagon in the past year or even in the past 5 years, welcome to the club here. There's been people working on this for 40 years here at Normal, and we're still making progress. It's going to take time. But again, 3.4 million people voted for marijuana legalization. And some of the other things that we've seen, we've created new coalitions. We've got the NAACP, the Latino Voters League, the Black Officers Association, the Latino Officers Association. We've got cops and civil rights groups. We've got progressive mags like The Nation. We've got conservative mags like Reason Magazine. Progressive blogs like Fire Dog Lake. Conservative blogs that are joining on with us. We have created a momentum here that is going to wash over this country like a tidal tidal wave in 2012. This is just the prequel here. 2010 is just the prequel. This is an off-year election. We don't get really good turnout in off-year elections. Plus, this was kind of a repudiation of the Obama administration and a disastrous election for Democrats all across this country. If you'll notice, all across the country, Democrats lost their elections, except in places like Oregon and California, where they were voting on marijuana legalization measures to one degree or another. So this bodes well for showing our political might at the polls. Would Boxer have survived? Would Jerry Brown have survived? Would John Kitzhaber have survived had not the enthusiasm for the marijuana vote been there, bringing out more young people than normally would have voted in those elections? I still have to get some of the numbers together on the turnout. I've heard that the youth turnout wasn't as good as we had expected. But again, it's an off-year election. This is good news, people. 46.1% is an all-time high in marijuana legalization votes, and we can only build from there.
We agree that that is good news. Now for the bad news. In an attempt to, in South Dakota, cannabis activists had a difficult election night watching as their measure to legalize medical marijuana in their state started off trailing bad. The percentage number of yes votes continued to decline, ending with a final yes at 36.3% and the no's coming in at 63.7%. That is a difference of 82,000 South Dakotans that voted against medical marijuana. South Dakota was the only state before Tuesday to have a medical marijuana citizens initiative fail in an election. The first time South Dakota voted on whether to allow medical marijuana was in 2006 and lost in a close election of 52% with no voting and 48% yes votes. This time around, the idea of allowing sick patients access to legal medical marijuana has soured as evidence of the low yes vote, a full 12% less support of the citizens than the vote 4 years ago.
Yeah, and that would be the downside of this, is looking at South Dakota, because this gives us a good bellwether as to how middle America is feeling about the medical marijuana issue. Like Kerry mentioned, in 2006, this got around 48% of the vote in South Dakota, only lost by about 15,000 votes. This year, it loses with 36-point-something% of the vote and about an 82,000 vote difference. So in the span of just a year, we have seen the opposition to medical marijuana increase by about 67,000 voters. What has turned them off over these past 4 years? What has happened since 2006 till 2010 that has made the average Midwestern voter in South Dakota decide that medical marijuana isn't all that it's cracked up to be? It's something I'll be telling you about in our radical rant. We'll get to that at the end of today's show.
Now, an attempt to create a regulated dispensary system for the medical marijuana patients in Oregon, Oregon's Measure 74 was defeated by voters with a 42.9% for and 59.7% against. Now, in 2004, activists tried to create a medical marijuana dispensary measure with Measure 33, which failed by a similar 43% of the vote, 57% margin. Oregon's medical marijuana program was voted into law back in 1998, but it left it up to the patient, a designated caregiver, or a designated grower to grow the medical marijuana needed for that patient. Oregon's medical marijuana program has been seen as a success by many other state activists trying to write their own programs. But the failure of Oregon's medical marijuana law is that there is no point of distribution, and it has created a large gray market for medical marijuana in the state. Not so much opposition to the measure against it. No large organized groups came out against the measure besides the usual suspects, law enforcement. So the defeat of Measure 74, Oregon's medical marijuana distribution system, has left medical marijuana patients with the same system that we had before: no distribution for medical pot.
No legal distribution for medical pot, because I can tell you from my own two eyes here in the state of Oregon, there are dispensaries here in the state of Oregon. Wink. It's just they're not organized in such a way or regulated as what we would see in states like New Mexico or Rhode Island or Maine, or even quasi-regulated like what we've got in Colorado or even California. It's happening, folks. You got 40,000 people in this state who have legal right to have marijuana, but no legal way to purchase it. Somebody is stepping in and taking care of that need. So really what the voters of Oregon have decided is they're perfectly okay with the way things are right now, letting growers take advantage of medical marijuana patients, letting them charge black market prices, not controlling what's going into the medical marijuana, not controlling how it's harvested, all of these things that Measure 74 would have taken care of, creating a regulated supply system and keeping tabs on the people that are doing the growing. That's all gone up in smoke, to borrow a phrase here, with Oregon rejecting the medical marijuana initiative.
And last but not least, Arizona's Proposition 203, another medical marijuana measure for the state of Arizona, was the closest in the races in the big marijuana measures across the country and lost so far with only 6,703 votes. The proposition to legalize medical marijuana was projected to pass, so it was a stinging defeat for cannabis activists in the state who have passed two previous medical marijuana measures. Since the vote is still so close, Arizona is still technically undecided, since they have absentee and provisional ballots left to count. Hopefully, medical marijuana proponents in the southwestern border state might be able to edge the votes close enough to demand a recount. But as of press time, the final tally for Arizona's medical marijuana measure is 49.75% yeses to 50.2% noes. Very close race, Russ.
Very close. Basically a 50-50 split here. And if you're in the state of Arizona and you sat home on election day thinking this thing was going to pass or that it was a shoe-in, and you're looking at that number of 6,700 votes, you know, just the population of a small town could have made the difference here. It's always tough, these kind of defeats. And the Arizona measure is the one that performed the best out of the four measures on the ballot on election day this year with that 49.75%. But once again, we've got to look at how this support for medical marijuana has been changing. Back in 96 when they tried this, they were able to get a passage of this measure, one that was actually a little more open than the measure they were trying to pass here. And they've seen the support decline once again. And in the Arizona situation, this is the only one that had the big money interests behind it. California's Prop 19 was kind of an ad hoc thing. Richard Lee and the folks at Oaksterdam kind of went forward with it, even against the advice of normal DPA, MPP. We all thought, you know, let's wait till 2012. But of course, once it got on the ballot, everybody's for it, you know, gotta, you know, close ranks and be behind it. The Oregon measure, Measure 74, was a grassroots effort by Citizens for Patients' Rights, Voter Power. Oregon Green Free did a lot of good work on this. Southern Oregon Normal, Willamette Valley Normal, all got involved. But again, a grassroots effort with very little support from the big money interests that have previously supported ballot measures. Same goes for South Dakota. South Dakota, pretty much a grassroots effort. So in those situations where you have grassroots activists trying these things, you can kind of cut them a little slack in that maybe they don't know how professional politics works. Maybe they made a misstep here or there in how they ran their campaign. But looking at the state of Arizona, this was backed 100% by the Marijuana Policy Project. They created the Arizona Medical Marijuana Policy Project, brought in all of their out-of-state activists, their heavy hitters, their big guns, people that are professionals, people that have done this before, had all the structure in place and ran the campaign, you know, tight ship, no crazy grassroots stuff going on here, just all top-down. And it did outperform all the others. Maybe you can, you know, attest that to the professionalism involved in that sort of campaign. But also, in that situation, it still lost. And we've got to ask ourselves, are we going the right direction in our marijuana law reform efforts to continue to focus on medical marijuana? Now, this is something I've brought up before in my presentation about the Box Canyon, and I've said, if we continue to ask for medical marijuana, that is exactly what we will get. Medical marijuana. Marijuana that is very restricted. Marijuana that is only for the most sick and disabled people. Marijuana that is controlled in its dosage and limited into how many plants that you can grow and all sorts of restrictions and having to register with the state and create security plans, etc., etc., etc. What I am seeing here in the United States is a situation where the people of America are supportive of medical marijuana in concept, but not so much in application. They all think, you know, you ask the average person, they'll say, hey, should a cancer patient be able to smoke a joint to get through chemo? Hell yes. Everybody's going to say, hell yes. But when you start to say, all right, should we create a program where sick and disabled people can get medical marijuana? Well, that's where the devil is in the details, trying to figure out exactly how that's going to run and who's going to get a hold of it. And I'm afraid, with the examples we've seen in California and Colorado to some extent, there's a large segment of the population that is beginning to feel like medical marijuana is too much, that it's going to go, that it goes too far, that just the people they thought were going to get it, the cancer patients, the AIDS patients, and so forth, are just the tip of the iceberg, and most of the people that are getting it are people that just want to use it recreationally. Now, you and I know the truth. You and I know about medical marijuana and how, you know, wonderful it is and how necessary it is for many people just to live. But I'm talking about the general public. I'm talking about the average Jane and Joe Q public voter out there that really just thinks it's an excuse to get high. Again, this is something I'm going to discuss a little bit more in the Radical Rant at the end of the show. I know it's not the most popular view, but hey, that's what we're here for, is examining all sides of the issue and bringing the controversies to you so we can all discuss them together. But it's always good before you discuss something contentious like this to sit back, relax, get yourself a nice bowl of nugs, share it with your friends, and get into the right headspace. We'll be back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com. Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. Brought to you by the John Doe Radio Show in Denver, Colorado. Accurate and informative marijuana reform news and entertainment. Available on the THC Media Network and JohnDoeRadio.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
John Doe Radio. John Doe here with your Groovin' Thursday tune on Normal Show Live. One of my favorite songs has become Get It Anyway from Cypress Hill because of the message of the song. A large part of Cypress Hill's latest album, Rise Up, consists of positive messages of rising up and overcoming the larger obstacles in front of us. Of course, an album from Cypress Hill also contains that West Coast gangster touch that marinates in a cloud of Kush smoke. You know what I'm talking about. Cypress Hill has continued to be on the front line of cannabis awareness and supporting opportunities of change. Recently, as many stashers know, they hosted the Smokeout Festival, where the first sanctioned area for medical cannabis use at a concert was established. I also chose this particular song this week because no matter what happened this week with cannabis initiatives at the ballot, we get it anyway. We know we have won the war, and we know we are on the right side of history. It has been echoed that it's not a matter of if anymore, but a matter of when. This couldn't be more true to the situation at hand, and you should hold your head up high knowing you are part of a movement in this nation that will one day have the possibility to not only change our laws, but to change the entire fabric of what our country is made up of. Keep fighting, showing up to the rallies, talking to your representatives. With that, we will succeed and we will get it anyway. I'm John Doe. Till we meet again, see ya.
I'ma do my thing, let me tell you right now. Cause I don't know any other way of living my life now. Some of you know the struggle, some of you live in the bubble. Some of you hustle, some of you just looking for trouble. I don't follow a lead, tomorrow's a dream. Pray to God to intervene on all the sorrow I've seen. I'm born out of here, you can leave when you wanna. Nothing can stop you. That's your type of persona. Life is shorter now, don't make me say it 10 times. I'll keep going for mine, even in the end times. I can beat the system, come on and say it with me. Show me some optimism, we can take over the city. Real life represent us now since the first day. Gangsters, hustlers, grinding out around the way. Can't stop clarity, always on the finger chase. Had to get it, they gon' get it, but I get it anyway. Regardless what the haters say,
the time in your life, you gotta go for yours. Staying paid is like the battle of forevermore. I stay pedal to the metal, foot on the floor. Earn my keep on the streets, knocking down your doors. I'm by the dollar, like everybody oughta be. Don't burn nobody and make the money honestly. Up in your home with the internet technology. I get it anyway, despite the economy. See, I ain't coughing unless it makes a profit. I'm dropping this so hot shit like everyday. Regardless of the climate, I'm gonna get it every day. Even if the bullets pray, I'm gonna get it anyway.
La 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 la.
Oh, right.
want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch-long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
In terms of legalization of drugs, I think that the war on drugs has been a utter failure.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure,
And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize,
criminalize
our marijuana laws, The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
Criminalize our marijuana laws.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
Criminalize.
Normal Show Live, where we don't change our position on decriminalization in an election year. Normal, unlike any other marijuana or drug reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we're pro-marijuana. Every week, we take some time to talk to the citizens of local Normal chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition. In this segment, we call Grassroots Activism.
Welcome back, everyone. 32 after the hour, we bring you recordings from our live coverage of election night at headquarters in Prop 19.
All right, we are readying for the Prop 19 press conference here. Dale Sky Jones on the stage.
Good evening, Amsterdam.
I can hear you, finally. So we are joined live downstairs in the parking lot by countless thousands or hundreds of thousands that want to know what we have to say. And first and foremost, thank you, California, for a healthy debate. We appreciate the tremendous victory in pushing this issue forward. In fact, yes, give yourselves a round of applause. We've taken this issue further than anyone ever has. Congratulations to you all. And we look forward to continuing this discussion. We've already had consensus amongst our opposition that current policy has failed. And it's just a matter of taking the next step forward. We've already started working with elected officials and had great conversations. We have a coalition that is, bar none, the best ever built. And we're planning on meeting with a coalition of our opposition to take the next step here at the end of January. We already have the plan in place. So we finally got what we need to get the engine started. We're not kicking off from zero anymore, folks. We are on the freeway. We are mainstream. We have made this happen. Thank you. You have made this happen. This is the debate heard around the world. And I would like to introduce the man that started the conversation, Mr. Richard Lee.
Thank you. All right. All right, settle down, settle down. We won tonight. We won for the last 6 months, the last year, all the years we've been fighting. We're going to keep fighting. We've made such great breakthroughs with this campaign, and the biggest breakthrough is all the allies we've gotten on board, the people on the stage here behind me. It's really been amazing, the support we've gotten. First of all, I have to start with Dan Rush and the UFC, W number 5, United Food Commercial Workers. These guys got on board last Christmas. Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. These guys been right there with us. The Drug Policy Alliance, Stephen Gutwillig and Ethan Nadelman. But then this summer we had the volunteers come on board, and it's really been amazing to see those guys come every day, make the phone calls. James is here, headed them up. And the next guy, we quickly named him Super Dave because the thousands of calls he made. Him and about six other volunteers, they really showed you what it's all about, and that's why we're going to win, is because of that energy. You know, they're the future. They're the ones who are going to keep fighting. Yeah, but I'm really, it's amazing. Perry. Up here with the online. You should get up here. Perry, how are you not doing up here? Get up here. How about Mauricio, the campaign manager? Aren't you up here? And how could I forget? People I've been working with for like 20 years, Chris and Mickey, Chris Conrad, Mickey Norris. Yeah. And then I saved the last two. Guy I've been working with here in Oakland. I first met him in 1995. I was going to move to San Francisco, but then I met Jeff and found out what he was doing with the OCBC. Jeff Jones, everybody. My co-proponent, and his beautiful wife, Dale, who's been our great spokesperson, you already heard from. And last but not least, all the soldiers from Bulldog Company, people I've been had the honor to lead into battle for the last 10 years. They're the ones who did the work over the years that really made it possible for us to get on the ballot so that these guys could do all the great work on the campaign and to build toward the next victory. So thanks again, everybody, for all the support, and we're on it together, and we're going to win. So thanks again. Thank you. Couple more I forgot. So many people to thank. It's like the Oscars or something, huh? They're going to turn the music up on me. Alan St. Pierre, you should be up here with Normal, all the work Normal's done for all the years. And then, of course, how could I forget? None of us would be here. I wouldn't be here without my parents. My mom and dad are here. Do you want to say a quick word, Mom?
To say we are proud of Richard is such a small thing to say. I've worked in politics all my life, and I've never had a campaign that I think means as much to the whole world as this one does. And I just... We have got... got to put an end to the racism that's that has come about with the drug war.
Yes. Amen.
And my mission now is that if the Republicans that I have supported really believe in cutting spending, they need to do it with the funds for the war on drugs. But Richard has two parents, and here's his other one.
Well, first, let me start by just saying what a fantastic, what an awesome event it is. It has been for the last couple of weeks that I've been out here to see this crew, this organization, just make things happen magically there at the campaign headquarters. No direction, nobody barking at them, nobody telling them how to do things. They just took over and automatically made them happen, to make things go. And they were good to us and as novices, as people don't know as much about computers or don't know as much about campaigning, don't know exactly what California is like, but they've made us feel welcome and made us really understand more than we thought we would. But you know, the bigger picture on this, and beyond what happens in this state, beyond what happens in this country, is being filmed hundreds of times by people making documentaries from all over the world. And to be there at headquarters when these people from Sweden, from Germany, from Spain, from Mexico come in and they want an interview, they want a picture, they want to know more about what this campaign is really about. So I think all of you have started something that maybe Ann and I will not see the end of, but I'm convinced that it's going to change not the country, but the world. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done.
Very well said. Thank you. And from remarkable perspective, as you mentioned, this is tremendous what your son has accomplished in this, and we appreciate all of your help to make it happen. We have an amazing coalition looking to move this issue forward and representatives of the future. And, you know, make no mistake, let's get down to brass tacks. We have a lot of work to do starting tomorrow. And we look forward to working with the state and local officials to make that happen. We have leaders that are already preparing the next steps, and the political process has given rise to a most amazing debate, finally an honest debate. And I know that those of you that have supported this and those in the media that have watched this debate unfold are ready to hold people to task and ready to demand from them the honesty that they started to exhibit. We heard a lot of fear tactics lately. But the truth of the matter is, we agreed on almost everything, and we have our opposition agreeing with us that current policy has failed. And I'd like to introduce just a couple of speakers to talk about the next steps. We have a coalition moving forward. We've already got the steps in place to take this to the next level. So this is one of those stay tuned. You to be continued. You have not seen the last of the group that has brought you Prop 19. Yeah. Already developing communications and consensus. I'd like to first introduce Mr. Dan Rush to talk about the labor movement. They've already unionized much of this industry, and they've got plans to take it not just back to California, but throughout the rest of the country. Dan Rush.
Thank you, Dale. Is Oaksterdam in the house? Huh? Is Local 5 in the house? Huh? Is Local 5 in this house in Oaksterdam? Hell yes. Is DPA in the house? Huh? Is the Democrats, are there Democrats here in the house?
Yeah!
Yeah! Is Normal in the house?
Yeah!
Is Richard Lee in the house?
Yeah!
Jeff Jones?
Yeah!
Is Lynette Shaw in the house? We're here. We're in the house, and this house is moving. This house is on the move. We're not stopping here. We've just started here. This is just a station in the trail that we're blazing, that you all are blazing, and that we're going to do, that we're taking to create this industry. Is this house in the industry of cannabis? Yes. And we're going to stay here, and we're going to keep building. Now we're going to turn this house into a mansion. We're going to build bedrooms. We're going to build living rooms and pool rooms. We're going to build, you name it. We're going to build it. I've never in my life, and I've been doing this for well over 20 years. As a matter of fact, I'm in my middle 30s now, as you can all tell. And I have never in my life met the quality of people that I've met on this campaign. I have never in my life been inspired by the people and the issues that have gone on that I've encountered in this campaign. I've met lifelong friends here, people that I'll cherish forever, and people that will continue this fight forever in California and across the nation, because many of us are getting together, and we're not just going to take California next time. Next time we're going to take Colorado, we're going to take Michigan, we're going to take Colorado, we're going to take Prohibition and throw it out the window. We've only just begun, so stay on this train because we're going to do it, and we're working together. And thank you for allowing me to be part of this movement and this family. I promise. I give you my word. We're in. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right, Stephen Gutwillig. Let's talk about a plan moving forward with DPA, shall we? No.
Thank you, Dale. Man, am I proud to be a part of this movement tonight. Because we all know what this was tonight. We all know what just happened here. This is a watershed moment in a very long struggle to end decades, the decades-long failure of marijuana prohibition in this country. There are people in this room who have been working in this movement a hell of a lot longer than I have. They know a lot better than I do what this is, this step on the road of ending the wasteful, punitive, racist prohibition on marijuana in this country. It is going to end, and tonight was an enormous step in moving this movement, placing it in where it belongs, in the mainstream of American politics. That's what happened tonight. We moved this movement into the center of American politics, and that is where it is going to stay. That is now permanent. We did that. We made history, and now we're moving forward. This is going to be the start of a series of initiatives that are going to pop up, probably in a lot of Western states, probably in California. We will see anywhere from 2 to 5 initiatives on the ballot in, guess when? 2012. Are we going to see all of you then?
Yeah.
Right? Possibly 2 years from tonight? You know what that's going to look like. That's going to be a much bigger room and a whole lot of victories that we're going to have under our belt, because marijuana prohibition is going down. It's been going down for years. The Gallup poll that came out this week, we're at 46% in the United States of America. Marijuana prohibition is going down. We are so proud of DPA to be a part of this coalition. And look what it looks like tonight, right? The California NAACP, SEIU, the Latino Voters League, the Progressive Jewish, what is it? The Progressive Jewish Alliance, the Longshoremen's Union, the coalition. It's extraordinary, right? Progressive Democrats, Libertarian Republicans, even one Tea Party Republican on the stage right behind me, right? A lot of young people and even some old people, right? Marijuana prohibition is going down. It started tonight. It started years before, but did it culminate tonight with a movement that is going to see victory starting tomorrow and 2 years from now. We're really proud to be here. Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
And last, I'd like to introduce the man that has been working one of the longest, the Quiet Crusader and co-proponent that you just haven't heard from so much, Mr. Jeff Jones.
So I think the one thing that can be said about my history is that I've had a lot of challenges in my life, and that I've learned to take a handful of lemons that the federal government gave me, and I set up a lemonade stand here in Oakland. And I think out of the decade or so of being sued by the federal government, what I've come across is that the medical patients that I represent are not going to be safe. They're not going to be free of that fear of the police coming to their door until we make a step like Prop 19 happen in California.
Yeah.
And then that's where we're going to the rest our end vision, is that we're going to change this law. And it's not a question of if. It's not a question of how. It's now more or less a question. I think it is a question of how. It's not a question of whether or not we're going to do this. It's how we're going to make that plan come together, to bring our stakeholders to the table, to bring the opposition to the table, because they say that they're for legalization, but they just didn't support this plan. Well, what plan do they support? Or are they just a shadow puppet person out there saying that they're going to set up a straw man that we can never defeat? And I think that California is a lot smarter than that, and that we're on that road to making a corrected path here about cannabis prohibition. And that the medical patients that I represent are not going to go away tomorrow. And that we need to continue to protect them and look at them as a resource in this as it moves forward. And that we offer this I guess, opportunity stepping forward because Richard Lee made it happen. Because somebody had the vision and the fortitude to put up what he felt was risky enough to make sure that everybody else might have a better path. And this wasn't about lining his pocket, because tomorrow he's still running a medical cannabis provider collective here in Oakland. But what we did was we got 9 other cities in the state of California to pass referendums that are now taxing and regulating medical cannabis or adult cannabis if and when it becomes available under state law. And that's going to change the way we look at this, because here in California, Oakland passed a measure like that by a supermajority of 70%, and our city government completely endorsed Prop 19. You move forward 2 years when we put this back on the ballot or the legislature deals with this, and some of these city governments are seeing the controls and the regulation and some of the resource taxes that are coming from this. And I think there's going to be a different decision here in California, because we're going to be part of it. And I've just been happy to be part of this. I think that it's been a learning phase. And again, we're going to set up another lemonade stand out of this.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Well, I think we can all agree without question. We're hoping that at the very least this little one grows up in a prohibition-free world.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, you got about 4 weeks to make that happen, California. Okay, hopefully overnight something magical will happen. Now, the fact of the matter is this was the election heard around the world, and it was your voices that shouted loud enough to be heard. It has been an honor and a pleasure serving with you and for you. It is no longer a matter of if, but when. Thank you for having the debate. Thank you, California. Well done. Let's have some fun, Oaksterdam.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for making pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway. How to hide herb in your car. Whether to grow your own. How precisely to legalize it. Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place. Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collective wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, folks, 55 after the hour, and we're going to go long on this radical rant. I can tell you that right away, because I got a lot of things to say about the 2010 election results. And, you know, I know a lot of people are really bummed out about this, Prop 19 losing and the medical marijuana initiatives in South Dakota and Arizona. It looks like losing so far. Arizona is still a close one. They might pull it out. The Oregon dispensary measure falling to defeat. I know this is really bad news, and a lot of people are taking it that way. But I always believe when we are talking about it, we are winning. And when we've got it on the ballot, we are definitely winning. Because even in our losses, we can learn. We can learn from our mistakes. We can learn from our opposition, both within our own side and the people who are normally our opposition, the drug czar and the cops and some of the politicians out there. So what are some of the things that we have learned from this election? Well, coming into the 2010 election and in a previous radical rant, I made a note about the Gallup polls. The Gallup polls have shown some remarkable stats here for the legalization of marijuana. And let me pull some of this information up in here. We'll put it up on the screen so you can take a look at it. The 2010 Gallup poll for marijuana legalization is at an all-time high here. And we can see in the green lines here, dating all the way back to 1969 when this question was asked, should we legalize marijuana? And it rose and fall throughout the 70s and 80s. But then when we get to the most recent polls, we've got 46% support for marijuana legalization. The red line along the top shows you how many people think marijuana should remain illegal. And as you can see, this one has declined over the years to the point now where we've got 50%, only 50% of the American people think that marijuana should be illegal. Legal. Of course, the devil is in the details when you start talking about legalization, and that's something that we learned about Prop 19. The Gallup poll that I just referenced that showed the support for marijuana legalization up over 46%, when it looked at just Westerners, the support was 58%. So 58% of the people out here on the West Coast, if you ask them, should we legalize marijuana, 58% say yes. So how do we go from 58% saying yes to legalizing marijuana to when we put it on the ballot only getting 46% of the vote? Where's those other 12% of the people going that say they support marijuana legalization? Well, again, the devil's in the details. As we found from some of the stoners against legalization, they think the word legalization means marijuana is completely legal. You can grow as much as you want. You can have as much as you want. You can sell it to anyone you want. There's no taxes on it, no regulation. You know, unicorns will sing and fairy dust will sprinkle from the sky. And okay, that's one sort of legalization view, I suppose. And those people, perhaps, they look at Prop 19 and go, well, that's not legalization. Other people who think it should be legalized really just think it should be decriminalized, think that we shouldn't waste our time locking people up for it. But if they try to sell it, then we ought to take them down. And that's where we saw some of the support fall off for Prop 19 when we talked about selling it. Not just from the soccer moms and the typical people that wouldn't support legalization, but also from the places like Humboldt County, Trinity County, Mendocino County that all voted against Prop 19 because they see that as part of their economy, the small grower economy. And if we just let everybody buy and sell and grow marijuana, why, the corporations will come in and they'll squeeze out the little guy, just like Walmart squeezed out the mom-and-pop grocery stores. So I can see that point as well. These are things that we need to learn in moving forward. So some things I think that we ought to add the next time we go forth with marijuana legalization. And again, 46.1% is the best we've ever had in a statewide initiative. And this is in an election 2010 when it was a repudiation of the Obama administration, a big failure for Democrats. The Tea Party voters were out. The conservatives were very energized for this election. So to get 46% in those circumstances is a remarkable turnout. We should hold our heads up high for that one because that is really amazing. But I do think there are some lessons to learn. Lesson number one, The next time we write a marijuana legalization initiative in a medical marijuana state, there's got to be three very important clauses that we put into that measure. Clause number one, this does not affect your medical marijuana rights. Clause number two, after we pass legalization, you will still have your exact same medical marijuana rights. Clause number three, when in doubt about your medical marijuana rights, please refer to clauses number one and two. This is one of the big things that we learned from the campaign up here in Oregon to try to legalize from OCTA, when we had the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, and it had the language in it that said, we're going to repeal all criminal laws, all laws about marijuana, and we're going to make it legal for everyone. The medical marijuana patient said, wait a minute, you're going to repeal the medical marijuana law? We're like, yeah, because we're going to replace it with everybody can have marijuana. So you won't really need a medical law if everybody can have marijuana. Oh, no, you can't get rid of the medical marijuana law. What if they invalidate all the parts about that and they keep the medical marijuana law illegal, but then we don't have anything? And their heads just exploded. Right. And no matter how we tried to explain it, that this didn't touch your medical rights or would make your medical rights better, they still revolted. And we saw the same thing with Prop 19 in California. A lot of the people who were enamored of Prop 215, who believe in their medical rights down there just the way they've got it, they've got theirs, and they don't want to see it go away. And, you know, I've kind of mocked it all throughout this campaign, but there is a legitimate opposition there of, look, I'm in California. I got Prop 215. I can grow a lot of plants. I can go to these great dispensaries. I don't want that to go away. And that's legitimate, and we've got to address that. So the next time we go forward with legalization, we have got to be very, very clear that legalization does not change your medical rights. And we can't just imply it. We can't have it buried in between the wherefores and the wherefore out thous and the notwithstandings and all that. It's got to be clear. This does not affect your medical rights. Big, bold-faced, underlined, 72-point font, whatever it takes, that's got to be the number one thing we go forward with when we start talking about legalization in the future. The number two thing that we've got to do is we've got to consider the small grower economy. We've got to, you know, be cognizant of the fact that there are a lot of people out there who don't like being called the black market, by the way, and I got to talk to some of these people, and believe me, I get an earful on some of my rants here, but there is a small grower economy out there. People who grow a little bit, they sell to two or three friends that they've known forever. And in this economy where people can't get jobs and you can no longer support a family with one income, this is very important to a lot of people. Now, that does not change the fact that morally speaking, it is wrong to make a living off of other people's suffering. It is wrong to leverage the risk of prohibition and the fact that that tears apart families and puts people in jail and gets people killed. It is wrong to leverage that to make a profit. However, we can't go from people making a living off of selling $300 ounces to dropping the price to $30 an ounce in just one fell swoop. We can't crush those families like that. They're always going to vote for their own self-interests. And that's what we saw in Humboldt, Trinity, and Mendocino counties. Number three, when we go forth with legalization, we cannot attach drug testing to it. And this was something Prop 19 had in it, which was, you know, you couldn't be discriminated against for your lawful use of cannabis. And the opponent seized on that by saying, oh my God, you're getting rid of drug testing. Now, you and I know drug testing is bullshit. You and I know that it's not scientifically accurate. You and I know that someone who is using cannabis, their judgment is not impaired like someone who's using alcohol or other drugs. We know these things, but we're the choir, right? We got to talk to the soccer moms out there. We got to talk to the law and order people out there who think that when you smoke pot, you go crazy. So we got to be sure that we do not take the drug testing away from them at first. Legalization has to come first. Then the drug testing will naturally fall in the next couple of election cycles. But it has to be legal first before you can attack the drug testing. You can't do them both at the same time. We've got to get it legal so people can live with it for a while, realize that we're not crazy, so they can know that the person down the block or the coffee shop down the block isn't a hazard to their neighborhood. Then we can go after the drug testing. Make those two separate issues. Decouple those in the argument. Number four, and this was one place where the opponents really had made inroads in the public opinion, is the whole stoned drivers argument. Now, once again, you and I know that people that use marijuana are not a risk on the highways. If anything, we drive safer, more carefully. But the problem is the average person doesn't know that, and the average voter out there thinks of drunk driving when they think of stoned driving.
They equate us. They think that we're as bad as people on alcohol. And for years and years and decades now, they've been propagandized by Mothers Against Drunk Driving, by our governments, that, you know, the worst possible thing in the world is to drink a beer and then go drive, right? So you cannot get them to think about treating marijuana like alcohol, or less than alcohol, which is what we'd prefer, but, you know, whatever. We cannot get to that argument of treat marijuana like alcohol without them naturally making the connection of drunk driving and stoned driving. You know, treat it like alcohol. Well, they think, oh my God, alcohol, we have all these drunk drivers. It's a terrible thing. So they don't want to see the stone drivers. And one of the problems that we had, as they said, is all the opponents and the people that were voting against this were of the attitude of like, well, once we legalize, how will we ever catch the stone drivers? And my response to that is always, well, how do you think we're catching them now? But you know, I think that the average person doesn't think too much about that because I think they think, well, it's illegal. So people can't drive stoned. People can't get stoned and drive, which we know is also bullshit. We know there's plenty of people out there driving stoned, even because, even though it's illegal. In fact, probably more because it's illegal. But we've got to get back to thinking about the average person who doesn't know what we know. Now, when you talk to the average person about drunk driving, there's a really simple thing they can understand about that, and that is the breathalyzer. They understand that alcohol is legal, and you can go to bars, you can go to, you know, football games and whatever and drink. But they also know that if you get caught by a cop and pulled over, he will make you blow into a device that will tell you scientifically whether or not you're too drunk to drive. Now, of course, the breathalyzer is also a flawed technology. It doesn't tell you whether or not someone's too impaired to drive, really. It just tells you what level of alcohol is in their blood. There are plenty of alcoholics in there who can drive perfectly fine with a 0.12, and there's some teetotalers out there at a 0.04 would be a danger behind the wheel. Again, the technology is inaccurate, but we're talking politics here, not science. So in politics, in the way people think, they think that breathalyzer is a real thing, that it tells you whether or not someone's too drunk to drive. We cannot go forward with a legalization initiative. We cannot continue with the rhetoric of marijuana is safer than alcohol without also giving them the breathalyzer for marijuana. That's what the voters want. They want to know that if we make it legal, if someone's being irresponsible, there will be a way to bust them. And what they think right now is that because it's illegal, they think that the stoners out there don't drive, or if they do, are very careful about it because they know if they're pulled over, the smell of pot, the sight of pot, seeing, you know, the pipe or the papers or ashes in the ashtray, whatever, is enough reason for the cop to take that person off the road. And the people think that, well, if we legalize it, they can have a joint on them, they can have weed on them, they can have a pipe on them. What will we do to get them off the road? And since those things are legal, there's nothing left. And that's where we lost on that particular piece of rhetoric, is we couldn't offer them the, hey, here's the solution to stone drivers. We asked them to accept that, well, we're already dealing with stone drivers now. And they didn't know how we were dealing with stone drivers now. They couldn't make that connection in their head. So if we're going to go forward with legalization, we've definitely got to address the stoned drivers issue. And we've got to be proactive about it. We've got to take that arsenal out of the prohibitionists, the opponents, out of the prohibitionist arsenal, excuse me. The number five point that I wanted to point out about this is we have got to be truthful about our aims and the reasoning behind what we're doing. And it's as simple as saying it's wrong. Locking people up, punishing people for their use of marijuana is wrong. Now, we can show the symptoms of that. We can show the effects of that, the racism in the arrests, the wastes of money by the police, and so forth. But it always has to come back to the fundamental reason. It's wrong. What we're doing is wrong. It's immoral. It is wrong. It's unequal. Going back to the whole alcohol and marijuana thing, all we're asking for is to be treated as equals. We want to be equal to people that use alcohol. We want to have the same rights as the guy who comes home from work and unwinds by drinking a beer. We want to have the same rights as the folks that have fun by going out and having a Chardonnay with dinner, right? We just want that. We've got to frame this as an issue of equality and civil rights. Because when we frame it in other ways, we provide ways for our opponents to tear down the argument. Example one. We framed this as a tax and regulate thing, as we could make tax revenue, we could make money, we could help California's ailing economy, we could help the budget. And then our opponents were able to go, well, wait a minute. And here, the other mistake in this situation, and this was a mistake of timing and messaging, is that Tom Amiano had that bill out, AB 390, that would legalize marijuana at the legislature, but it put a $50 an ounce tax on it. And then the California Board of Equalization studied that and said, well, if you have a $50 an ounce tax, you can make $1.4 billion. And then that bill died, but Prop 19 came out and said it would tax. And people started conflating the two. They started saying, oh, well, this Prop 19 will make $1.4 billion. No, Prop 19 didn't have a $50 an ounce tax in it. But now you've made us look bad by saying so. When this, I told you about this on the show. When I first started seeing some of the campaign stuff come from Prop 19 saying raise $1.4 billion in revenue, I went, oh, no. Oh, no, you have just handed them the way to look at the stoners and say, oh, see, they're overreaching. They think marijuana is the magical herb that'll cure everything, all the budget woes, and they were able to punch holes in that $1.4 billion before the ink had even dried on the flyer. So you can't focus this as an economic argument. Besides, when you get right down to it, the economic argument's kind of cynical anyway. If you say, oh, well, we could raise this much money by legalizing marijuana, they can say, well, does that make it right? I mean, we could make this much money by taxing crack. Would that make it right? You know, and what if the economy gets better? What if California's economy is in a surplus? Then we don't need to legalize marijuana? You can't pin it on the numbers argument. The numbers argument can be a part of it, can be a supporting part of the overall point that it's wrong to lock people up for a plant. How much we're wasting, how much money we're leaving on the table, that can be a part of the supporting argument. But you can't go and say $1.4 billion when you know it's not $1.4 billion. And where that really hurt us was when Holder, Attorney General Holder, came out and said the federal government would shut down any pot shops that opened. Then everybody went, well, whatever little tax money we were going to get, now we're not going to get any because the feds are going to shut it all down. So you cannot circle it around the money argument. The other example of bad framing was to frame this as something that would take down the Mexican cartels. Now, part of that is the ONDCP kind of slipped one on us. You know, all those ONDCP guys were coming out and saying that marijuana makes up 60% of the Mexicans' income, and Rand's study comes out later and says, really, it's not that much. It's 12 to 16% or something. But again, it's just that whole credibility thing. We had the credibility issue with the $1.4 billion, and then you followed up with the credibility issue of this is going to tear down the Mexican cartels. The proper way to frame that would have been, you know, this is going to end the high school dealers. This is going to end the guys in the parking lot, not the Mexican cartels, because anybody who's in California who's smoking weed now is not smoking Mexican brick weed. Okay, they got great indoor hydroponic chronic that they're smoking. The Mexican brickweed's going to Oklahoma. That's going to Texas. That's going to Missouri, right? So right there, we provided another big silver platter for our opponents to say, see, they're overreaching. Here they say the magical weed is going to solve California's budget crisis and end the Mexican cartels. What's next from the pot people, right? That's where we ended up in that situation with a lot of the undecideds and a lot of the more conservative voters. So let's learn from those mistakes. I mean, that's why I think this is so good. We can learn our lessons from these mistakes. We can learn our messaging and get it better for next time. Now, I want to take this to another direction with respect to the election results, because there was more than just Prop 19 out there. Like I said, I'm over the moon that we got 46% in a midterm election when the Republicans stormed to power in the House. I think that, you know, is an amazing turnout, amazing number, especially when we had no big money support until like the last couple of weeks, right? Amazing what was accomplished. And as these speeches that we played for you earlier pointed out, you know, we built historic coalitions, we're moving forward, you know, we've got a running start on 2012 now. All wonderful. Let's talk for a second about the medical stuff, though, because, you know, I did my presentation on the Box Canyon for medical marijuana, and I said that really medical marijuana is a dying strategy, that we have lost the public on this one, or we're losing the public on this one. And let me show you some examples of why I believe this to be so. First of all, I did a chart last week. This is the one where I show the difference in the two Gallup polls that most recently came out. In 2005, the Gallup poll came out and said that 36% of the people supported marijuana legalization. And in 2010, that poll had gone up to 46%. That's represented by that bottom green area, right? So in the span of 5 years, the support for legalization went up from 36 to 46, a 10% jump. Now, the blue area above that is the corresponding poll results for medical marijuana. Should marijuana be legalized for medical purposes? In 2005, that was 78%. In 2010, it was 70%. So the support for medical marijuana in the span of 5 years has gone down by 8%. Now, I think it's a pretty safe assumption to say that anybody in the green section, you know, anybody who thinks marijuana should be legal for everybody, probably also thinks marijuana should be legal medically. Right? I think that's a pretty safe assumption. So that means the difference between the green section and the blue section represents the people who don't think it should be legalized for everyone, who only think medical marijuana should be allowed. They're the kind of people that think if you're healthy enough, you should be thrown in prison, but if you're sick, you can smoke a joint. So the gap in 2005 is 42%. 42% of the American people who only support medical. Now, as support for legalization has gone up, if the support for medical only stayed the same, it should rise just like the legalization rises, shouldn't it? But it doesn't. It goes down by 8%. And if you compare the gap, we're now down to 24% of the American people who support medical marijuana only. We've gotten from 42% to 24% in the span of 5 years. How did we lose 18% of the people who thought medical was okay? Well, think about that as I show you this next chart. This next chart, because I looked at that and I said, well, that's two data points, Russ. That's 2005, that's 2010. Two data points does not a graph make. So I went back and I said, well, let's take a look at all the Gallup polls that we can find. And here we have them. Dating back to 1999, when Gallup first started asking about medical marijuana, because remember, 1996 was California, 98 was Alaska, Oregon, Washington. So by 1999, they start asking about it. The support for legalization in 1999 was 29%. The support for medical in 1999 was 73%, for a medical-only gap of 44%. Now, over 2000 through 2005, support for legalization increased by about 5%. From 1999 to 2005, support for medical increased about 5%. So through the early part of the 2000s, both legalization and medical are rising at about the same rate. So you still have that same number of people who think that medical's okay, but not legalization. And that number rises as the legalization number rises, because again, the people who believe in legalization probably believe in medical too. But then again, you hit 2005 and you see those numbers drop from 78% to 70%, from 36% up to 46%, which means since 1999, medical marijuana support hasn't had an overall drop of 3%, since 2005, an overall drop of 8%, while legalization has gone up 17% since 1999, gone up 10% since 2006. So what is that telling us? Well, what it's telling me is that I think, in the words of Judge Judy, there's some people out there that are tired of having their leg peed on and being told that it's raining. I think there's some people out there that were all cool with medical up until the mid-2000s, when the patient roll started exploding in Oregon and California and Colorado, and when they started seeing news reports from Venice Beach and California and these other dispensaries, and when they see the signs, hand-painted signs on Venice Beach for doctors offering cannabis recommendations that cannot spell the word cannabis, those kind of things happened. And people who had been brought into the medical-only movement thinking, well, I still hate marijuana and I still hate potheads, but, well, if you're suffering from cancer, I suppose you should be able to have a joint. You know, whatever makes you feel better. Those people are starting to not buy it anymore. This is something we found in Oregon. When we were running Measure 74 this year, we heard from editorial boards on just about every newspaper, including the Oregonian, our big city Portland paper, that said, no more of these medical marijuana things. Let's just get to the debate about legalization. And the whole idea being medical marijuana is a Trojan horse. And we've heard that before. Medical marijuana is a Trojan horse for legalization. And then, of course, we on the medical side, we say, no, it's not. It's just for the patients, just for the patients. But now that we've run Prop 19, it's going to be pretty hard to deny it. Prop 215 in 96, medical only. Prop 19 in 2010, legalization. Every opponent can say, see, if we go with medical, 10 years from now, they're going to make us legalize. Now, again, I always have to put the caveats in here, put the disclaimers in here. I'm completely in favor of medical marijuana. I completely understand the science behind it. I know that it's a medicine. It's not just about getting high. I completely support the patients, and I even support what's going on in California. I think, you know, if you want to use medical marijuana for hangnails, halitosis, insomnia, whatever, I'm cool with it because I think everybody should be able to use marijuana. So I always throw that in there because I always get the email. Someone says, you hate patients. You're against patients. No, I'm not against patients. God, my wife, my family, everybody I know is a patient. People with some pretty severe conditions too. So don't give me that claptrap. I'm pointing out the political realities here. And the political reality here is that people don't buy it anymore. Or if they do, they want their medical marijuana so severely restricted that it's not what any of us would recognize as medical marijuana. You're going to see the New Jersey model, right? You can have medical marijuana as long as you're chained to a radiator in a basement with no people around you on a Tuesday at 3 a.m. I mean, it's going to be so restrictive and, you know, 1 ounce limits and 2 plants and you can only buy an ounce at a time. And we're seeing that. The laws have gotten more and more restrictive as they've come out. And as we've seen from Arizona and South Dakota this year, not passed at all. So the medical marijuana thing only can go 2 directions. It can only go more and more restrictive, or it can just lead to electoral losses. That's my belief at this point. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, Russ, that's nice of you to say in Oregon. We're out here in Louisiana. We're out here in Arkansas. We're out here in Florida. And there's no chance in hell legalization is going to be passing. Got a point. You do have a very, very good point there. But is there a chance in hell medical's going to pass? And if it does, what kind of medical is it going to be? Is it going to be your New Jersey-style medical? Nobody can grow at home. Got to have terminal, intractable pain that's been treated by 6 doctors, and you have to have tried every drug on the list before you try marijuana, and then you have to re-up for it every 3 months, and your doctor can get rid of it if he says you don't need it anymore. That kind of medical? Now, again, am I telling people not to fight for that? No. My God, please fight for it. Please. If we only get medical marijuana to 10 people in your state, the 10 most sickest severe people, then that's a good thing. Of course, fight for that. I understand. And that's why in Normal we have independent chapters that do their own thing, because what's going to work in Louisiana is not what's going to work in Oregon. Understood. Completely understood. Talking about this from national perspective. I'm talking about this as we start thinking about these initiatives that we're going to write up in the future. And it's my belief that we can't move much farther forward with medical. I can feel that pendulum swinging back. Because there's one thing about the American people. Regardless if they're conservatives or liberals or Democrats or Republicans or independents, the American people don't like to be bullshitted. Okay? That's what it really comes down to here in this medical thing. And again, I'm not saying medical marijuana is bullshit. Of course it's a medicine. Of course it helps people. I know the science. I talk to Dr. Mitch every Wednesday. Of course I know what I'm talking about here. What I'm saying is, as a political issue, people think they're being bullshitted now. Okay? That's what they think. And that's what these numbers are telling me, is that they think that it is a Trojan horse for legalization, that we should really just talk about legalization. And my advice from here on out is that we can't just separate it into medical versus legalization. We have to frame it now as legalization is what helps medical marijuana patients. We can show, and I've done it many times on this show, how medical marijuana isn't protecting patients. They're still having their guns taken away. They still have home invasion robberies. They're still getting ripped off by growers, by dispensaries. They still have criminal problems. They still end up in trials. They still end up being raided. The only way that we can help the medical marijuana patients is to fully legalize. But we've got to get away from this idea that, only medical use is allowed. One of the problems that does is it frames the issue as that marijuana is deadly dangerous. Marijuana is deadly dangerous, so deadly dangerous that we should still lock people up for it, but not if they're sick. It seeds to our opponents the notion that marijuana is something so powerful it needs to be very strictly controlled. And that's what we're trying to get away from. Ironically, that's what some of the stoners against legalization were trying to get away from, is the idea that it needs to be strictly, totally controlled, and it needs to be freer than that. Medical marijuana ends up telling people that if you're healthy enough, you deserve jail. And it maintains the frame that marijuana use is bad or evil or dirty or disgusting or a habit. Part of what we need to do going forward here is to rehabilitate the image of getting high itself, right? That's one of the things I hear a lot from the patient side is, it's not just about getting high, it's medical. And absolutely it is. It is medical. I'm telling you, anti-inflammatory, anti-nausea, anti-spasmodic. We know the deal. We know, right? Our opponents may not know, but we know, right? But there's also getting high. And so long as we have medical only, we have all these uses for which marijuana is okay and accepted, and we have getting high, which is kind of dirty and disgusting and put over to the side here. We need to rehabilitate the image of getting high. We need to show people, and this is why I'm so happy about the Normal Women's Alliance, the Pot Couture photo shoots, and every time the moms for marijuana are out there, plain-looking average people coming out and saying, yeah, I smoke pot, what of it? So what? It's no big deal. That's where we need to go forward with this. We need to rehabilitate the image of getting high. We need to show it as the logical alternative for someone who doesn't want hangovers, who doesn't want violence, who doesn't want puking on their shoes. Again, Carrie makes a good point that we talked about this on the road too, is we don't need to make alcohol the enemy. We want to be equal. We want to be equals. We want to be able to have fun with our beer drinking friends, but not be thrown in jail for it. That's all we want. That's the direction forward, I believe, when it comes to these arguments. Thanks for tuning in to this extended version of Normal Show Live and the Radical Rant. I just had a lot of thoughts I had to get out on the air. It was an amazing time down there at Oaksterdam University. We set all-time records. Normal Stash Blog had 15,000 hits. We had over 4,700 live listeners, about 50,000 for the day. It's a lot of fun. For Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ. Ganja John, get well. He'll be back soon. And until next time, everyone, take care of each other, tokers.
Is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.